WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Health officials in Gaza say at least 27 Palestinians were killed in a third day of violence as they made their way to a food distribution site, and those officials blame Israel. The BBC's Barbara Plett-Usher.
The UN's human rights chief called for a prompt and impartial investigation. He said deadly attacks on distraught civilians were unconscionable and would be a war crime.
Smoke from giant wildfires in Canada is still blowing into the U.S. Meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Air quality is really bad. We've got alerts up from International Falls back through Minneapolis and in through parts of Wisconsin. These will probably stay through tomorrow.
An exit poll in South Korea shows liberal candidate Lee Jae-myung has won a snap presidential election to replace Yoon Suk-yeol, removed from office after he declared a state of military rule, the BBC's Jean McKenzie.
This would be an absolute landslide victory for the candidate who campaigned on one very clear promise, that he would make sure martial law could never happen again.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. In a story we've been following, the National Weather Service is facing severe staffing shortages, and none of its Wisconsin offices currently have a chief meteorologist on staff. Savannah Tolme Olson has the latest.
Earlier this year, Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency cut or offered an approved early retirement to more than 500 employees of the National Weather Service, which monitors our severe weather, issues warnings, and surveys emergencies. And now, 30 NWS offices across the nation are without a chief meteorologist, including all of the ones here in Wisconsin. The state is covered by five NWS posts. Green Bay, Milwaukee, and La Crosse are based here, and the northwestern Wisconsin is covered by two offices in Minnesota. But neither Green Bay nor Milwaukee nor La Crosse have a chief meteorologist in charge right now. The Green Bay office had been launching weather balloons twice a day for about 80 years. Those balloons go up and collect data that can help create more accurate forecasts. Because of cuts from the Trump administration, the Green Bay Post had to cut half their launches, and now they only do one per day. At least six offices in the country have had to suspend all overnight operations, meaning they're not properly staffed if there's any sort of severe weather event overnight. Now, according to reporting from CNN, the National Weather Service is about to hire about 125 new meteorologists and specialists. It's the start of hurricane season, which is expected to be more active than normal. And here at home, it's severe weather season. We've already had 22 tornadoes hit Wisconsin in 2025. On average, we usually only get 23 in a whole year. And June is the peak month for tornado activity here in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers face the Reds again tonight at Great American Ballpark. The crew won their eighth game in a row last night, 3-2 over Cincinnati. A home run by Christian Yelich and good pitching from Aaron Savalle and the bullpen. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who's been dealing with a bad head cold on this road trip.
No question. Savalle did, he responded very well after the first inning and made big pitches in the second inning and settled in the third, fourth, and fifth, and very important. And then Rob Z continues to do the job. Koenig, Uribe, and McGill, very good again.
NFL at the Packers OTAs. Head coach Matt LaFleur says, take a close look at defensive end Edgerrin Cooper coming back in his second season, 10 pounds heavier.
He's certainly, his body looks different. I don't know if you guys could tell, but he's like 240 pounds right now. And I think there was a time when we came back last year where he was like 220.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday mornings, we'll have our two weekly features. Our homeroom segment looks at current issues in public education, and Melissa Baldoff has our climate check.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She owns the GameStop in Sheboygan. Our guest, we're going to talk all about games and what the game board, rather, in downtown Sheboygan and how games are good for you. Lynn Potyan is here. Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. It's Lynn Potyan.
Potyan, I apologize.
That's okay. And I do not own the GameStop, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, you own the game board. Yes, the game board in downtown Sheboygan. Let's talk a little bit, Lynn, about how you got into this, because there's a connection with one of your children.
Right. Well, the story is, it goes back 25 years ago. My son was diagnosed with a severe speech delay. And later on with a neurological writing disorder. But in the meantime, he was using games at speech therapy, and I worked with him at home using board games and card games that were coming out of Europe to help him find a different cognitive path to learning. We were very successful at doing that, and such I opened a store and then have in the last 20 years been helping other individuals with special needs, autism, and all the way through end-of-life stages with dementias.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing.
It is. It is really amazing. Yeah. I would think when people hear your story, they're gonna be, you must reach some hear some skepticism from folks. Really, playing a game made your son better?
No, absolutely don't get any skepticism. Actually,
really?
No, playing games is actually super important for your cognitive abilities. So, I mean, everything we've ever done is with cognitive learning. We're here in America. We're one of the few places in the world that does not believe in playing games for learning. It actually kind of translates back to commercials being given to us and fed to us from the 60s to the 90s. It was an unfortunate accident for the commercial because the commercials were really good and they said that kids play games. And so adults thought, well, only kids play games. And it's kind of an underlying current that people believe. But if you go to Europe, everybody plays board games. Everybody plays card games. It is the best way to keep yourself sharp. And as you mentally decline, that's the best way to stay in tune socially and academically.
That doesn't surprise me, Lynn, because it feels like when they nowadays in especially with smartphones and more variety in board games, you can access more independently made board games. But they have to almost say, like, it's a board game for adults. You have to tell an adult it's okay to play this game. You're not a child. But I mean, I contend that, like, when I was a kid, we used to play board games with my parents, and I believe the box said from ages 8 and up. So that kind of, you know, includes everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's unfortunate that it was more like the commercial on Saturday morning cartoons that you would hear. Mm-hmm. that would say, oh, these are focused on children, because the commercials were focused to keep the kids in turn in tune to watching the TV on Saturday mornings.
Yep.
So that's just the sad fact. I mean, depending on what your age is, you probably grew up with some of that. I did. I'm 59. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching those commercials. And, you know, I had Monopoly and Twister and Careers and the Mystery Date.
Oh, Mystery Date. Oh, Lynn. Oh, my God. Mystery Date.
Brought you back, didn't I, Dave?
Oh, yes.
He has a car.
Oh, he had a tie. Ooh.
Yes. And those were delightful. Those are great games. But also, if you think about the Mystery Date game, that wasn't for little kids.
No.
That was like for 20-something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole, boy, that's a whole show, Lynn. We could talk about that.
One game.
Seriously.
This guy doesn't even own a Ferrari. Why am I playing this? Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Lynn Potvin is the owner of the Game Board in downtown Sheboygan, and we were talking about how board games are good for you. And you mentioned, Lynn, because I'm a little older than you, but I think we grew up in the same time period where,
right,
as a family, we would play Life, which no one ever finished because it was too long. And
what a commentary.
Seriously, though, and Monopoly. But what are games that are really good for cognition?
Oh my gosh, every game is.
No matter what?
Every game that is out there, no matter what, every game. And it's really intriguing because there's obviously educational games, but mostly educational games don't involve a lot of critical thinking as much as you would think. So educational games don't have that fun side. They have that, I'm sorry, I spoke wrong. They have critical thinking, but they don't have the fun part.
Right.
And so when you put the critical thinking and the fun part together, then you have this really great combination. And that's really what playing games is about, right? We do an activity so that we stay involved and we're learning and we're having a good time and we're building memories and we're having socialization and we're having that experience with each other. And then when it's all over, you've actually probably learned how to recognize shapes or numbers or letters, or learn to take turns, learn to have a critical way of thinking about something, how to handle your resources, how to manage money, all those other pieces that come with it. So you're learning something at all times.
Even though you might not be aware of it.
Not aware of
it.
Yeah. That's the best part. That's what games are all about. I mean, games started over in Europe. You know, I mean, you could trace them all the way back to the pyramids. When, what did they do? They played a game of bones with the people who were building the pyramids. Unfortunately, those were slaves. But in order to make the slaves work, they didn't let them play a game. They had them build the pyramids, and then they fed them. But on their off day, they got to play the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they didn't feed them.
Well, and
they didn't feed them.
And going back to the evolution of this, because when I was a kid, anything that was educational was boring.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've especially with the dawn of technology, and you can make education, whether it's a game or a story or anything, you can make it so much fun and engaging. And really, I think it's more about, especially for young people, inflaming their minds to curiosity rather than teaching them something. It's teaching them how to be curious, which is great. I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Curiosity is the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, though, I wanted to discuss with you really quick, and this is a conversation I had with my brother-in-law, who is a doctor, and it is while games are great, what you said, I totally believe that all games are good for keeping mentally sharp. There are games out there, especially on our phone, that say, you'll get smarter, or you'll make your memory, they claim to do these things that I think physiologically
are impossible.
Or if you're looking to do something like that, I mean, I don't think a game can make you smarter, but like if you're looking to sharpen your memory, it's also something you should, if you feel like you're having memory problems, maybe talk to your doctor, but also engage in gaming with other people because it's also great for community.
But here's the thing, you're getting me confused with, I'm talking tabletop games, you're talking apps on phones. So it's a different thing.
Yeah.
An app on a phone and computers for the most part. There's no shame in playing video games. Video games are very much more socially engaging than they used to be. But back when Jane and I were kids, that wasn't a thing.
That's right.
So it wasn't socially engaging. You were in direct competition with the person if there was somebody even in the room with you. So let's go back to apps on phones. They are isolating. They do not allow you to engage with other people. So you're no longer learning about facial expressions. You're no longer engaging with community or with people who are around you. So you're isolating yourself. And if you have a cognitive decline happening, if you're older, then that is something that's going to make it worse. That's not going to make it better. You're isolating yourself is the last thing you want to do. You want to be more socially engaging. And as people go aging and they hit a cognitive decline, they have a tendency to avoid situations where they're uncomfortable. They don't go out in public. They don't see people. They don't drive anymore.
Right.
And those are things that are going to only be escalated by isolating somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, can you play a word game or a crossword or play a, oh, there's wonderful little puzzle games on the phone? Yes, absolutely. But you have to balance that with whatever you're doing socially too.
What?
So board games, though, have that tendency to grab all of that and put it all into one place. Sorry, Jane, I cut you off.
No, not at all. And I just think you said something so interesting, Lynn, in that especially for people who might be on the spectrum, I can see where doing a face-to-face board game, learning about facial expressions, right? That's got to just be so critically important.
Yeah. Yeah. When you, there's a, you know, Dungeons and Dragons is amazing. It's a role-playing game. Any role-playing game is really good. If you have somebody with autism, because they're learning how to take risks, they're learning how to take turns, and when they make a failure or they do something wrong in the game, they don't personally have a failure. Their character has a failure. They have to start over again, but it's a learning session. They learn how to handle a social situation or how to handle defeat in a very nice, comfortable place, as opposed to some place that's likely like a school that will embarrass them. We don't want to embarrass anybody.
Right. No. It's a failure that's easier to accept, right? Because again, it's in a different kind of environment.
Yeah. I think this is fantastic. I've always been someone who's been very averse to board games, not because I wouldn't enjoy them, but because I'm always afraid that the rules, I will not understand the rules, and someone will have to explain them to me, and therefore making them not enjoy it, because they're like, well, I had to explain to Greg for 40 minutes why this did this thing. And so So
there's an app out there called Dized, D-I-Z-E-D, and we really focus on it at our store because it's a bridge that takes you from wanting to open the game to playing the game, because you don't have to read the directions. It's an app that will teach you how to play the game while you're playing it.
D-I-Z-E-D?
Yeah, D-I-Z-E-D, Dized. It's an incredible app. Not every game is on it yet, but a whole bunch of games are on it. And it makes it so much easier, because some of those harder games, like, you have to get a law degree to read them. Well, are you kidding me?
I saw a video on YouTube talking about the most complicated game ever. I think it's called the Conquer of North Africa. And to play it with everybody involved that you need, it takes about 10 years.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's so complicated that it's a video of comedy now.
Wow. Yeah. We're going to continue.
Yeah, I only have 10 years.
Yeah, right? Who's got that much? Good heavens, I thought Monopoly was bad. I thought life was bad, much less a 10-year game. We're going to continue our conversation with Lynn Podian.
Podian.
Podian. All right.
Yeah, we'll just call her Lynn. Lynn owns the Game Board in downtown Sheboygan, and she curates a whole bunch of different strategic and cooperative board games for all ages and has community game nights as well. We're going to keep this going, as well as your favorite games. Mm-hmm. What games do you like to play at 855-752-4842? Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Just don't know what else to do about it. James
says. James says.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on county supervisors in Shasta County, California, still clinging to debunked 2020 election fraud claims by President Trump and his allies. May 29th, a Colorado man was sentenced to 3 years in prison for threats he made to top Colorado and Arizona election officials, fueled by those same claims. Teek Ty Brockbank of Cortez, Colorado, pleaded guilty in federal district court last fall for threatening to, quote, hang by the neck Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold and former Arizona Secretary of State and now Governor Katie Hobbs. He also threatened a judge presiding in a separate DUI case and threatened to shoot federal agents if they stepped on his property. Brockbank asked for leniency during the sentencing, blaming consumption of alcohol and online conspiracy theories for his actions, according to the Associated Press. The Brennan Center for Justice found in a 2024 survey that 38% of election officials have been subjected to threats. A Princeton University Bridging Divides tracker found 90 threats to election workers last year alone. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice Division, which prosecuted Brockbank, the Public Integrity Division, has largely been dismantled under Trump's Ending the Weaponization of the Federal Government executive order. The division has been reduced from 30 lawyers to only 5 under Attorney General Pam Bondi. We have the DOJ's details of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest is underway. So after 11 o'clock, Tom Hartman will have the keyword for you to text in via the Civic Media app, and you can pick up either $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. And then you're in the running for the grand prize, either a vacation, a summer vacation in either Door County or Baraboo, and gas money to get you there and back.
That's cool.
That is pretty nice. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for that keyword. We play this contest four times a day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m. with Todd, and then 4 p.m. with Maggie Dawn. Tom Hartman with your next word for our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. Right now, we are joined by the owner of the game board in downtown Sheboygan. Lynn Podian is our guest, and we're talking all things games and how games are good for you. It's interesting, Lynn, you had mentioned that isolation is not a good thing when you're talking about games, because there is one word game that I play on my phone all the time that I love, and it's called Bonza. And it's essentially if you took a crossword puzzle and you cut it up and then you had to put it back together. But
that's very cool.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. And I turned up my friend in Texas onto it. So we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Because there are people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything you play is going to be good. Like anything.
Yeah.
Seriously. There's not a bad thing. It's that we don't play enough as adults.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play. And we need to learn to play more. I think that's what Europe gets right. They did a cognitive cohort study where they followed a city of people for 20 years. And when they got done with the study, they found that 15% chance, less chance of getting dementia if you were one of the people in the study who was playing board games and card games.
Really?
That's a really cool statistic to know about, yeah.
That's significant.
It is, yeah.
Well, Link, if I can ask you a piece of advice. As I
Sorry,
said,
I didn't mean to dumbfound you.
No. I mean, it's both amazing and absolutely not shocking that Europe is getting it right when it comes to this topic. That like I don't want to get political or commentary wise, but yeah. It doesn't. I'll say this: it doesn't surprise me. But as I said before in the earlier segment, you know, I have a lot of hesitation playing games because I'm afraid of the rules can be overwhelming. The rules of play, yeah. So it makes me say, I'm good. I don't want to ruin your good time by me not knowing. And that's, are there games for adults that would be a nice dip in the water?
Dipping your toe in.
That is like, it's easy games. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and it gets you just into that realm to move forward.
Yeah, we specialize. We curate in bringing in a bunch of games that are going to be in all different levels for adults and kids. I would say, do you like playing poker and do you like Yahtzee?
Yeah.
Because Yam Slam is one of my favorites.
Yam Slam.
It's a game where you play dice and you take poker chips for your Yahtzee turn. And there's only five chances to win each section. So there's only five full houses. So if there's, you know, five of you playing, you could each win one, but once they're all gone, there's no more.
It's done.
You can't do a full house. You got to roll for something else. So that's a great way to do cognitive change. Dominoes is great. Like, dominoes is pretty simple in the concept, but depending on how you want to play it, it can be deeper. I love games that have simple rules, but that have that ability for you to go deeper into the game. Mm-hmm. And there's so many good games. I always hate to, like, mention a bunch of games only because it depends on who you are and what you enjoy and what you're drawn to. So, but we have sections in our store. We have our top 40 section of what we as staff think are the best games. This is not based on anybody else's opinion around the world. This is just based on what our store has done really well with. We have a sections classic games where you'll find the Yahtzees and the Roll For Its and, abalone, things like that are more abstract strategy. We have a two-player section, and then we have puzzle games and puzzles, and we have a whole children's section. So I think it just depends on what you're looking for. Oh, and party games. Gosh, party games are the best. Light rules, fun interaction, quick and easy, and then it's a nice jumping off spot to go and get into other things. Yeah.
We don't have a whole lot of time left. We got about 2 minutes left, Lynn.
Yeah, sorry.
But I just wanted to say as well, this can be really important for people who have dementia.
Yes. And their caregivers. I think I would stress for caregivers because there's no bringing somebody back, like you said. You can help to try and rebuild neural pathways, but with dementia, that's different. You can't really do that. But you can help somebody slow their cognitive decline a little bit or have a better chance at the journey. The problem is whoever's the caregiver, that person needs...
They need a break, too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're going to include the link to the game board in downtown Sheboygan in our show notes. If people have questions or they want to check it out, Sheboygan's not that far. Go take a run up there and check out the game selection.
We renamed it.
You did?
We renamed it last year. Yeah, we're calling it Sheboard Games, Wisconsin.
Sheboard Games, Wisconsin. Lynn with the silly pun. I'm loving it.
Lynn with the win. Sheboard Games. Lynn Podian is the owner of Sheboard Games, the game board in downtown Sheboygan. It's been such a pleasure, Lynn. Thank you so very, very much.
You too. Thanks for having me. You guys are delightful.
Have a great day. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What's happening to you and to me? God grant me the serenity to just remember who I am. Cause you've given up your sanity for your pride and your vanity. Turn your back on humanity. Oh, and you don't give a God.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two Wisconsin counties and two cities are among hundreds of local governments listed as sanctuary jurisdictions by the Trump administration. Joanne Krulutz reports.
Officials in Madison and Milwaukee said it's unclear what landed them on the Department of Homeland Security list. Both vote heavily Democratic and have significant immigrant communities, but neither has any sort of formal declaration as a sanctuary city. Dane County and Shawnee County in northeastern Wisconsin are also on the list. The Shawnee County administrator said its inclusion must have been a mistake. Shawnee County voted 67% for President Donald Trump in 2024. The list of more than 500 sanctuary jurisdictions no longer appears in the Department of Homeland Security's website after receiving criticism for including localities that have actively supported the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies. The department last week published the list of the jurisdictions. It said each one would receive formal notification that the government has deemed them uncooperative with federal immigration enforcement and whether they believe those jurisdictions to be in violation of any federal criminal statutes. The list was published Thursday on the department's website. By Sunday, there was a page not found error message in its place.
We're under an unhealthy air quality advisory that began around midnight and will continue until noon on Wednesday. Heavy surface smoke is moving into Wisconsin from the northwest. Air quality is unhealthy, and we could see spikes of very unhealthy as the front moves slowly from the northwest to southeast throughout the day. The DNR advises everyone to keep outdoor activities shorter and less intense. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Clint Eastwood is tired of sequels, franchises, and remakes. Join the club, bruh. The four-time Oscar winner is a spry 95 years old and says he misses the days when writers would hole up in a bungalow on a studio lot and churn out movies like Casablanca. The 95-year-old star of In the Line of Fire and the director of Juror No. 2 says he plans on working for a long time. Eastwood says he'll work as long as he can still learn something or until he is truly senile. 95, a sense of humor, still making movies, and he can probably take you. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like good old-fashioned manhunts, check out American Manhunt, The Search for Osama Bin Laden. At first, I had no desire to relive 9/11, but watching it with my kids was an experience. The American Manhunt series, not to be confused with Manhunt, The Search for America's Most Gorgeous Male Model, includes two other mini-docs, The Search for O.J. Simpson and the Boston Marathon Bombing. All the series can be watched good old-fashioned binge-style on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy. High in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball action coming up later on today, 5:35. Our broadcast starts. The crew on the road against the Reds. You can listen to the game over terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center. WCQM, I'm sorry, WBZH in Hayward, WCQM in Park Falls, WISS in Oshkosh, and also WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha. The crew at the Reds, our broadcast starts tonight at 5:35. If you were listening before we went to the news, our guest was Lynn Poyeden, who is the owner of the game board in downtown Sheboygan, and we were talking about board games, and they're really good for you. For a whole bunch of different reasons. I just think it's, I think it's interesting. I think it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
So we want to know what games you play.
Yeah.
What is your game? Family gets together for Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, whatever. Is cribbage your thing? Is it sheep's head? Shop scoff?
Is it, I know.
Maybe it's Clue.
Oh, yeah.
I bet there are people who still play Clue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's all different kinds. I know that for my family, we play a game called Joking Hazard, which is more of a card game. It's not, it's a strategy thing. So everyone's, everyone's familiar with apples to apples and how like you get two cards, you get a word, and then someone picks whatever the winner card is.
Okay.
In the round, one person is the judge. It's the same idea, only it's comic strip panel based, where you put down one card as that's the community card, and then you you put down two cards, and then you put down your proposed third panel for the comic book strip. You know how, okay, comics and newspapers, Jane. Let's go back to news.
I think I'm following you.
So you know how like Garfield is three panels.
Yes. Okay.
So
one card is the starting card.
Two cards they put down for, and then you as the player choose the last card to end the joke.
Okay.
And then the judge who puts down the first two cards says, "Here's the winner. Here are the three panels. This is how it makes the most sense."
Gotcha.
We played that one a lot. You can play for hours. You can play with a lot of people. And
it sounds like fun.
Yeah. It also, there's a lot less fighting involved unless you get someone who gets
very
adamant about how much they think their card is the best one. And I've played that with people. I'm like, this is a game.
And they're defending their, why they should win.
I don't understand why I didn't win.
Oh no.
You shouldn't try to understand.
You don't play with those people anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
One time with that and you're done.
Yeah.
As you said, it's a game. Mm-hmm. People, lighten up a little bit. 855-752-4842. What games do you play with the family? What games do you play with friends? I know during COVID, board games like jigsaw puzzles took off big time.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you playing? Greg from Waukesha texted in, "This is a battle I always have with my friends, Jane and Greg. Is Yahtzee a board game? Some of my friends say because it's rolling dice, it's not a board game. What say you guys? Yahtzee is absolutely a board game.
I believe you roll dice in Dungeons and Dragons, and I would call that. I mean, well, I don't know.
But roll dice in Monopoly.
I guess, yeah. That's not a fair
assessment of a board game.
I also think to say something like, well, that's not a board game. Who cares? Do you have fun? Are you having fun, Greg? If you're having fun, then it doesn't matter the simple label. You're playing a game. You're having a good time. That's all that matters.
What's your game? 855-752-4842. Dave from New Berlin. Sudoku is awesome.
Yeah.
I have to really think about that game.
Well, there's two versions of Sudoku for me. There is phone Sudoku, and then there's book Sudoku, like physical paper Sudoku.
Right.
And the physical paper one because I want to try not erase as much as possible. So I really like to concentrate. Whereas on phone, it's a little bit easier and a little more forgiving.
It's more forgiving, yeah.
Yeah, so I like Sudoku, but the problem for me with Sudoku is I will then just dive into it. I will be enveloped by my phone.
For hours?
For hours, and I will get nothing done.
See, and I think that's the one good thing about the game that I had mentioned to Lynn. It's called Bonza, B-O-N-Z-A, Bonza. Mm-hmm. And you only get to play one a day. There's one new puzzle a day.
Wow.
And you can go into other ones that other people have made.
Yeah.
But they're not nearly as challenging.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, it's I get my one fit. I wait until, like, 5:30. It's like, oh, I can play my game.
So, this is a phone thing, a device thing? Or
this
is
I play it on my tablet.
Okay.
I play it on my tablet. And, again, it's as if you had a filled-out crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
And then someone took a scissors and cut it up. Mm-hmm. And they give you one clue to put the puzzle back together.
Wow.
That's, yeah, it can drive you cuckoo.
You also play that other game, too, the other puzzle game that you were talking about. With me and Calvin, and when Calvin looked at it, he was like, oh my gosh, this is...
House of Da Vinci, but that's a whole nother world.
That's not, I mean, those, and these are not board games per se either. These are device games.
This is a device game. Yeah. Yep, this Bonza is. What are you playing? What is your board game? And who wins the most? 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. My sisters and I used to play board games all the time. We didn't have TV or anything.
Right.
And we used to play Chinese checkers on the old metal game board. And then also Parcheesi.
Mm-hmm.
Those were our favorites. Mom liked Scrabble.
Yep, and we still play Scrabble. My sisters and I will play Scrabble. I love that game.
Yeah.
I love word games. Ollie, I'm curious with Chinese checkers because we had one of those boards. We had Chinese checkers on one side and then regular checkers on the other side. We used to play with the Chinese checkers. We never followed any rules.
Yeah.
Were there actual rules for that game? Because I'd love to know what they were.
Yes, there were. You have it's like a star.
Yeah.
And then you put the colored marbles on each point in the star, and then you try to get your man to the middle.
Oh. And, see, and we were just playing with the marbles and we're jumping over things, and we never actually played the game, I don't think, ever.
Other person's marble. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ollie. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. What games do you play?
Looking back now, we played a muted version of Monopoly where we just wanted to go around the board and collect money or go to jail. We didn't build houses or anything like all of the darkest senses of Monopoly we never played. We're just gonna go around and around until we have
and collect a lot of money.
And then we're done. Calvin, what about you? I know you and your family play games.
Yeah, we do. Me and my mom both like to play euchre, but we're the only two who know how to play, and my brother refuses to learn.
All right.
So we don't really play euchre too often.
Okay.
But,
euchre is a card game.
Yes, that's a card game. Then we play Ticket to Ride, which is a game. The board is, we have, the standard edition is just the United States. So it has cities and then train routes connecting different cities. And you have to match cards to build train routes, and there's points and.
Oh, I like the sound of that. What's that called?
It's called Ticket to Ride.
Also, the original name was Building the Megalithic Railroads of America.
Let's change the name.
They're like, well, how about Ticket to Ride?
That sounds better.
And then we play Settlers of Catan, which is. We played it twice in the last week, and it's frustrated me. I don't know why I'm so bad at it, but I've just been terrible the last two times we played. That's a little bit more involved, but it's pretty much you roll dice for resources and then use those resources to build roads and settlements.
I remember I used to be part of a very short time. This only lasted like a couple months, but I was part of a weekly game of Risk, which is a very heavy, probably the mother of all strategy games that has born all these other ones.
Right.
And I remember every week I would lose horribly. And one week, due to the incompetence of everybody else, I won. I'm like, I'm never playing this game
again.
Because
you're going out
on top. I won. I'm retiring on top. conqueror of the world because someone doesn't know how to roll dice correctly. Mike,
I'm taking my win and I'm going home.
Exactly, exactly.
Terry, listening on WAUK, says chronology and sequence are great games. John from Oshkosh says we play a card game called Polish Poker. It's crap on your neighbor, basically with a non-PC name. Played at get-togethers with the in-laws, 25 cents a round.
There you go. See, that's my mom is she loves poker. She's very, very good at poker, but she was never like the. I'm going to go win us a car with poker, or I'm going to break the house. It was right. Just, she played with her cousin. My mom and my dad would play with her cousins every once a month. And the thing is, how'd you do last night? Oh, I won a lot. I won like $2.50. Cause they played nickel, dime, and quarter.
Oh, that sounds like my mother.
No dollars, no beyond that. It was low stakes,
oh, yeah.
High fun.
Yeah. My mother lived for penny slots.
Yeah, exactly.
What games do you and your family play? 855-752-4842. You can call and or text. Megan in Sun Prairie listening on WMDX. My family, Calvin, loves Ticket to Ride. But last time we saw my parents, we got them turned onto Cascadia. Super fun.
Cascadia. That just sounds like a...
We're going to have to write these down and we'll have to revisit them.
And Carol in Waukesha listening to WAUK, I've heard this one a lot before. Bananagrams.
Do we know what Bananagrams is?
I don't know what it is. We own it at home. We have a ton of board games at home. We play none of
you
them.
You and Bridget?
Yes. Bridget loves board games.
And you never play with her.
Well, hey, you know what? You know what? Don't you dare. All I know is that Bananagrams comes in a bag that looks like a banana. And the bag, like all the pieces are inside of that.
Well, now I think you have to bring it in.
Well, now I think you should be nicer to me because sometimes I don't feel like playing board games. And I have anxiety. Leave me alone.
What board games do you play? 855-752-4842. This all jumping off, again, from our conversation with Lynn Poyeton, mm-hmm. who runs the game board in Sheboygan. And if you've got somebody in your family who's got dementia or Alzheimer's dealing with something like that, I highly encourage you to check out their website.
And also, Lynn spoke about that this can help for people who are on the spectrum,
yep.
help them with understanding decision-making, community interaction, decision-making, things of that nature. PJ on the live stream says Gnome Games in Appleton is a good place to check out if you're on the side of the Lake Winnebago.
Good to know.
And he also plays video games, Xbox, and mobile apps. I'm always very hesitant. There's all those advertisements on your phone about the games where...
You can win
money, and it's always a gift card. But I'm even with a gift card, I'm like, I don't know.
It makes me suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, and what makes me wonder what list I'm going to get on.
Also, what are the tax implications? Because like if you win over a certain amount, I'm sure you have to report it, even if it's a game card. I don't know.
We don't bust for financial crimes anymore. Where have you been?
Very true. If that happens to me, I'll just be like, I love Trump. And they'll be like, you're pardoned.
You cheated on your taxes? You're a good American. Yeah. Calvin?
I was just going to tag on to what PJ said. I would shout out Odd Willow Game Store in Maguanago and the Inner Sanctum Game Store in Racine.
The Inner Sanctum.
Ooh. All right. Kirk from Eau Claire, brother and I played Chutes and Ladders. Or, I'm sorry, played up the chutes and down the ladder, reverse chutes and ladders. Kurt from Waukesha, Fast Uno, Sheep's Head, Rummy 500, Hearts, Spades. Great new game, Wits and Wagers. From my dad, the family that plays together stays together.
I love Uno. Love Uno.
We'll play Uno and Bananagrams.
There you go.
It's coming up. On the way, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Boulder Dash edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the...
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices. And with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on, wrapping up the live program. Actually, we have more live shows after Pete Schwabba. Mm-hmm. But from 6 to 8 o'clock, Pete Schwabba. Tonight, he is going to be talking to our Northeastern Market Director and multi-talented Todd Michaels to talk about paranormal investigations.
I talked to Todd last year while you were on vacation. We talked about what he did for me with that is he got me to understand the difference of ghost hunting versus what he does is which is communication experience. It's deeper, and I felt the desire to respect the idea more because we have our ghost hunter, sure, blah, blah, blah. But sure, Todd really broke it down and showed me how passionate he was about his goal in what he does.
Should be a really interesting discussion. Our great one and only Todd Michaels joining Pete Schwabba tonight between 6 and 8 p.m. on Nightlight. So stick around for that. Right now, though, 10:54, speaking of the fabulously voiced Todd Michaels. Calvin, it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Today it's the Boulder Dash edition. This from the Associated Press. Mark Thiessen with the byline. The headline reads, a 700-pound boulder pins Alaska man face down in a Glacier Creek for 3 hours.
Ouch.
An Alaska man who was pinned face down in an icy creek by a 700-pound boulder for 3 hours survived with only minor injuries, thanks in large part to his wife's quick thinking and a lot of luck. Kel Morris's wife held his head above water, otherwise he would have drowned.
Oh my God.
For 3 hours.
God.
Kel Morris's wife held his head above water to prevent him from drowning while waiting for rescuers to arrive after Morris got pinned by a boulder, which crashed onto him while they were hiking in a remote area of Anchorage. His second stroke of luck happened when a sled dog company that operates on the glacier overheard the 911 call, and they offered up their helicopter to rescuers, which they could not get to with ATVs. So the man is face down in a creek with his wife holding his head up so he won't drown. And it's only through dumb luck that this dog sled company heard the 911 call and sent their helicopter to get him.
Do y'all remember the movie 127 Hours?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You go into that movie knowing how it's going to end. You're like, oh God, I can't. This is another movie. Like, this has all of the beats of like high, deep action and buy-in and what's going to happen. Even if you know what's going to happen,
how it's
going
to end,
you still sit there going, oh God, oh God. And the woman just holding his head
out of the water.
When you first read it, my whole like from my waist down just hurt. Because the idea of a boulder that size being on your body,
700 pounds,
sends shockwaves of pain through my body.
And he is, again, minor injuries.
I would love to know what minor includes. Like, is it a broken this or a bruised
that? Dislocated shoulder or something?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Or because Mia would be like, oh, he has no leg. Like, like there should be massive injuries.
Yeah, this story does not include anything about that. It just says that once the rescuers got there, it took 7 men and inflatable airbags to get the boulder off of him as he was drifting in and out of consciousness. Morris, 61, says he realizes he's probably the luckiest man alive and luckier that I have such a great wife. Hey, honey, remember when you didn't want to do the laundry that time?
Oh, you don't want to go to the movie? I'm recalling when I held your head for 3 hours.
3 hours.
We're going to see the new John Wick movie.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
that's the way amazing. Morris landed, there were rocks under him, in between his legs, and around him that actually caught the weight of the boulder, preventing him from getting crushed.
There it is. Okay.
But the massive rock still had him pinned, and he did feel intense pain in his left leg. He thought his leg was going to snap. But again, amazingly, got out of there without any life-threatening injuries.
And I do not mean this as a joke at all. But that to me just says, if you're going to take these expeditions, these big hiking, go with someone.
When he and his wife go hiking this weekend, they're going to stick to established trails.
When they go hiking this weekend, I'm retiring. I will go find a park, sit on a bench and go, look at that lovely nature that can't. Well, it could kill me, but not as easily as a boulder.
No, he says we're going to stop trailblazing and stick to known trails. Probably a good idea.
That wraps up
today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, Darren Van Ruden will be here to talk about our friends, the farmers. We're also going to talk about, there was a talk about bringing more movies and movie makers to Wisconsin. Nathan Deming is a filmmaker who spends his time between Wisconsin and Los Angeles. We're going to talk to him about film credits in Wisconsin and what that could do for us. So I hope you will join us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News coming up next on the vast, statewide, countrywide, take us global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. More than 20 deaths reported in another day of bloodshed at an aid site in Gaza. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab.
Eyewitnesses tell us that as they tried to attempt to get aid from this distribution hub, that's when Israeli forces opened fire. Israeli military has put out a statement saying that they only fired warning shots.
Well, CBS's Rob Marciano tells us smoke from Canadian wildfires is becoming more of a factor in the northern half of the country.
Air quality is really bad. We've got alerts up from International Falls back through Minneapolis and in through parts of Wisconsin. These will probably stay through tomorrow.
Greg Rosen, the federal prosecutor who oversaw hundreds of Capitol attack cases, has quit weeks after President Trump